Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today. Come on, Faith Church, you can do better than that. All right, you can be seated if you're good looking. If you're ugly, remain standing. Tell your neighbor, say, did you get Botox? You look good. You just look really good. Today, when I pulled in the parking lot, I got so excited because I'm not just saying this. This last service and the last service in Earth City are my favorite because you guys always respond. You've already had breakfast. You kind of did a little bit of brunch. You did your coffee. Now you got your Red Bull, and you are ready to receive. Give it up for yourself for just being a caffeinated wild bunch. All right. Last week, we talked a little bit about Mel Robbins' book on Let Them. Let Them. Let's take the welcome down and put my series back there. Let Them. Everybody shout, Let Them. So when you let people reject you, you just let them. Let them talk about you. Let them gossip about you. Just let them. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about Let Me as well. For so many years, I brought this little cup last night, and I just want that cup. And this cup is me. It's clear, it's authentic, it's plastic. No, okay. For years, I lived my life like this, trying to get other people, especially my dad, to fill my cup. Affirm me, love me, tell me I did a good job. And I worked really hard because I was really addicted to approval. Anybody in here really like approval? Raise your hand. How many of you really don't care? Okay, that's good. There's like a few of you. That's awesome. But some of us really, really lack approval. So if I washed the motorhome, if I did this, if I mowed the grass, I did all these things, I wanted to hear attaboy. The problem is my dad never heard it from his dad. So always remember, your parents can never give you what they ain't got. That's why we ain't got $10 million in the bank. Can I get an amen? Can't give what you ain't got. And so what I did with a lot of my life was living for the applause of other people. And this causes fear of people, intimidation of people. Proverbs 29:25, it says, fearing people is a dangerous trap. It's time to stop handing over the steering wheel of your life to other people. Fear, false evidence appearing real, makes you think that you're less than when you really are more than. But if you walk around empty, you can't give stuff that you don't have. I brought this energy drink because I know you guys are buck wild like that. And this would represent our confidence in God. This represents love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And it's kind of red, so it represents the blood of Jesus. In fact, there's so much of this that I can actually do a fun trick. Watch this. I can get it all the way to the top. In fact, I can be so full of confidence and exude joy, not based on my dad, but based on my father, that I can actually kind of got to be careful how I even carry my anointing because I could actually spill it over. And then some of you go to church every week, and you're going to Grow Track, you're tithing, you're giving, you're making a difference, and you're just so full of it, you're just overflowing. You're like, oh, man, I just got plenty. That's really fun, isn't it? It's kind of a wasteful, though. Then we go, wait a minute, I'm going to set it right here, and we got to be careful because I could knock that over very easily. And then there are times where people just come in and just kick your can, knock it over. Anybody ever just seen mean-spirited people say, you never, you always, they leave you? If they leave you, let them. Some people just mean, just like, oh, spilled it. What do you do in a situation like that? You go back to church, his mercies renew every morning, same cup, same person, but now he says, hey, my mercies renew every morning. He'll fill you right back up. I slept with the wrong person. That's not cool, but it does happen. You get it over. You get over it. Some of you are under something you should be over. I always, I never. Now, we protect our heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. You'll never walk in your purpose if you're addicted to the applause of men. If your joy is based on what other people think of you, the statement is, if mama ain't happy, let's all shout that again, if mama ain't happy, and the same happens with dad. My dad was that guy, not very happy. In fact, I had to change my personality when I was around him because he was so aggravated and so mad. Hey, I ain't got time to be laughing. I ain't got time to be, and so I had to try to become. I knew what he wanted from me, and I couldn't really be me. Because me is full of personality and other stuff. So you sometimes take the map that your dad wanted you to be an orthodontist. Your dad wanted you to do this. Your mom wanted you to do that. You can not authentically be yourself. You'll be miserable if you don't find out what God's call is on your life and don't live for the applause of them. You've got to let them, whoever they are, be unhappy with you, because you have to be happy, because it is your life that has got to be full of the Spirit and full of joy. And Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Second one out of the gate is joy. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you have no joy because mom and dad didn't treat you right, the people at work walked away from you, now you're living a miserable life because your joy is based on what you think they think of you. We think too much about what other people think of us. You ought to try being a pastor. I preached last night, preached this morning here, then they took me up there and I preached. I came here and preached again, going back up there and preach, and every time the lights are on me, and everybody's looking at me, and they're talking to me, and some of them don't like the way I dress. Why don't you dress in a suit? Then I wear a suit, and other people say, hey, you know what? You know, I think you look better in jeans. You know, I like my preacher in shorts. Come on, somebody. It's just like, I will be so miserable if I don't go, you know how I chose this today? I walked in and I thought, oh, I'll wear those pants. And then I got these new work boots, and they're not really work boots. They're fake work boots. Come on, somebody. I thought, I'm going to wear my fake work boots today, and I'm going to put this on. And my wife liked it, and I'm sure some people didn't like it. I cannot go preach if I don't feel confident in what I feel like wearing today. Come on, girls, go with me right now. Anybody up in this church today? All right. Now, Galatians 1 verse 10 says, if you're still trying to please people, you can't be the servant of Christ. Still trying to please people. You can't be the servant of God. Now, we're not intentionally trying to displease people, but some people have to be allowed. You got to let them be unhappy. And then what's really funny is people are fickle. Have you ever seen people that were unhappy with you and you stayed on the same path, and eventually they came back and said, hey, I'm proud of you. You went on the right path. Come on, raise your hand. So you've got to find out what God's leading you to do, because if you don't, you have mental health consequences, consistent anxiety, exhaustion, bitterness, low level or high level depression, because you don't feel like you're authentically yourself. I don't feel pretty. I'm too white. I'm too dark. I'm too big. I'm too small. I'm too short. I'm too tall. Nobody got everything, but everybody got something. You got to rock you and be confident about you, even though, because you had all those things said about you, now you do fear men and you fear people because you think they're thinking about you. Here's what I also know. A lot of times people aren't thinking about you near as much as you think they're thinking about you. If they were, they'd text you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? They're not thinking about you. We think too much. I would do this, but what would they think? I would post this. You ever posted something? You're like, oh, man, I hope this is okay. And then you post it, and you hardly got any likes. And then you thought I should take it down. Or you got some weird comments. We live for likes. We live for approval. We're addicted to approval. Instead of saying, wait a minute, I've got to say, hey, I like that picture of me and my dog, and I'm going to rock that bad boy. And you post and you live your life not based on what other people, not your career path, the direction you needed to go. Not that we don't take sound advice from people, but you cannot allow your life to have a roadmap for somebody else's destiny and their dream. You got to be you. You hear me say it all the time. I got to be me, because nobody can be a better me than me. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm just saying whatever I am that, and I got to rock that, and I have to be confident in that. And this causes people to say, here's what most people say about me. You're authentically yourself. Some people even say, I know you're you, because if you were pretending to be somebody, you wouldn't do that one. Okay? And that's a backhanded compliment, but it works, okay? So your confidence has to come from God and from his word, and then you have to say what Brene Brown said. I love it. She said, you either walk inside your story and own it, or you stand outside and try to hustle for the approval of other people. Years ago, when we first started the church, it went from 200 people to 2,000 people, and we got invited to this thing in South Florida. Didn't get to go to Florida much at all back then, and it was really cold in January in St. Louis, and I just felt the Lord told me to go. And I went, and they put us in this real cool hotel, and I got up early because I'm excited. Like, I want to meet some guys that have already been where I've been. I'm going to be around them. And I made the assumption of thinking that they would embrace me and like me. So I get up early, and I go to the breakfast area down there, and I get it, and I look, and I go, oh, my gosh, there's three of those guys. I've watched their podcast. It's amazing. And there's, like, a bunch of seats at the table. So I went up to the table. I said, hey, guys, I'm David Craig from St. Louis. You know, I was wondering if I could sit with you. And they went, probably not. We're kind of having a conversation right now. Anybody ever felt that feeling like, oh, God, oh, God? And I'm walking out, and as I'm walking out going, I'm going back to my room, I'm leaving, I thought, you know what? Screw them. I'm going to go back in, and I'm going to sit at my own table, and I'm going to just rock me. And I was alone by myself, still chasing those thoughts. They're rejected. Don't look over. And I thought, forget it. Now, here's the good part. Over the years, the church grew, and we became what they call a gigachurch, which means anything over 10,000 members is a gigachurch. And then two of those guys called because they had new books coming out. And they said, hey, we've never met, but I wanted to introduce myself. And I'm like, oh, no, we've met. We met one time. You probably don't remember, but I'm thinking, I sure do. But because I was full of confidence in God, I didn't say what my flesh wanted me to say. I let them have it. Just say, hey, no big deal. Tell me about the book. Because they were just being them at that point in their life. And they may have had something going on that I couldn't be a part of at that moment. I got to be a big boy and trust that. But eventually now watch how God is. When you're confident in who you are, like the Pope of that organization is a guy named Chris Hodges, who's now subsequently is my best friend. He says that. We go on vacation every year. He dresses like an investment banker, a complete different dude than me. And everybody dresses like Chris, tries to be like Chris, does their church like Chris. And he doesn't want to hang out with him. They always say, why do you hang out with David Crank? And he goes, I don't know. I just like him because I'm full of personality and have a good time. And I'm not trying to be them. I'm trying to be me. And if you'll be me, embrace your shame, embrace your past, embrace your life. Use your history as his story, and then people will say, hey, I don't know who they are, but they know who they are, and they're authentically themselves. And now you're sitting here with something to give. Your mom and dad, they couldn't give you what they didn't have. So dad couldn't affirm you, mom couldn't affirm you, because you can't give what you don't have. Now, when you come to Faith Church, which you're doing today, what you're really doing is mentally, spiritually, you're really growing. Here's why I know you're growing better than your family is because they ain't here. You're working on you. So most people will, if studies have proven this, that most people stop growing emotionally at 8. So if you see a 60-year-old guy with a beard throwing a temper tantrum, that's my road, that's my street, just know he's 8. Have you ever had a day where you were 5? Come on, so I was just 5. Nicole doesn't treat me right. I had to make my own eggs. You had to do this, right? She's over there being 7, you know. Well, I can't believe that he, you know, wants me to make his eggs. He's a grown man, right? And we wonder why difficulties happen and jabs happen. Because what we're doing is we've given it all away. But when you're full of the Spirit, full of the Lord, and now you're learning behaviors, you've got so much to give away. You can affirm your kids and your grandkids, and you can leave a legacy. Because not everybody in your family of origin, listen to this, this is worth writing down, is good for your future. They're part of your history, but they're not good for your future. Your family of origin and your family of choice, two different things, man. If you want to know about my family of origin, just Google Jerry Springer, okay? Watch any episode that you would choose. These are my family, okay? One of my family members, his son shot somebody and murdered him. And they still go to my church. This is my family. I didn't choose that. I was born into that. But I had to choose peace, and I had to choose the will of God for my life, and that meant that I had to go with my family of choice, and that's you guys. By the way, you got to get me something for Christmas now. You forgot last year. We are family. So family of origin is different than family of choice. Raise your hand if that makes sense to you. So you're working on you, and now that you're healing, you don't have to be performing all the time. Think about this. When Jesus is baptized on the River Jordan, he's not turned water into wine yet. He's not healed blind Bartimaeus. He hasn't healed the woman with the issue of blood. And God looks at him, hasn't done anything, and says, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." It wasn't performance-based. God's not basing his love on you based on performance. He's basing it on you because he loves you, even when you act bad. I have a four-year-old grandson, and they were at our house this morning, and Liam, he had his little iPad, and his dad was trying to get his grandma to comb his hair and brush his teeth, and, all, and he doesn't want to mess with it. And Austin's like, I don't know if you've ever seen like Chris Brown or sorry, Chris Rock or somebody be like, "Hey, hey," with the kid. "Hey," Austin's like, "Hey, hey, 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 move, hey, hey, hey." Doesn't do anything, just, "Hey, hey, hey." He's tuned him out. "Hey, hey, hey, hey." Anybody ever seen stuff like this? And then eventually he says, "Hey, I'm going to smack your leg if you don't quit it." And he says that for like 20 minutes. "I'm going to smack your leg." And then eventually he goes, he said, "I told you I was going to do that." And I'm like, "Oh, boy. Bet that really hurt." He said, "I told you you're going to do that." The four-year-old looks up at him. Liam said, "Hey, you don't talk to little kids like that." I was like, if I said that to my dad, I wouldn't be here today to tell you about the issues with my father. Because I would bet. Raise your hand. If you'd have been dead, you'd have went to heaven as a child. And I got killed when I was a minor. What happened to you? My dad was saying, "Hey, hey, hey." And I told him, "You don't talk to a kid like that." That was the last words I heard in an ICU. Okay, so when God is affirming you, the devil is trying to get you to get all tangled up with the mindset of thinking that you need to perform for love. And honestly, I don't know the right thing, how to raise a kid. I don't know the right thing to do. All I know is you've got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and you've got to do whatever the Lord is speaking to you to do with your life. And here's my big takeaway. Let them, and then let me. Let me. You should shout that. Let me. Let me set some boundaries. I told you last week that my dad was like, "You did a bad job picking out your first wife. I'll pick out your second wife." I'm like, no. It was a boundary. Here's a big one. Let me say no. Everybody in here has went to a wedding you said yes to that you didn't want to go to. Anybody ever been asked to go to a wedding in a distant city? Buy a flight, get a hotel, use your vacation days, buy a gift for them, and you're like, "I'm doing that. I'm going to that way. I'm not going to Chicago. I'm heading to Cancun. Can I get an amen right now?" You're not even going to see me at the wedding anyway. But we say yes to things that we should say no to, so we've got to let them, but we also got to let me. Let me choose peace. I just told you that with me. I had to say, let me choose peace. Let me follow my call, my destiny, my dream for my life. It'd be great if your dream lined up with what your parents wanted you to do, but ultimately, it's got to line up with God's destiny for your life, because you can't do what you're not called to do and not live in disappointment and think, "Oh, man, this is really hard." For me, communication is very easy. I was like, "Oh, what do I say? I hope it's okay. I hope you just get a cup. Let's pour out stuff." I'm relaxed. Every service is just a little bit different. I tailor make every service for the vibe that I feel. And that's why people always say, "Pastor David, it's like you were talking directly to me." And if you'd been in another service, it wouldn't have been like I was talking directly to you. Raise your hand if I felt like sometimes I'm talking directly to you, okay? So it's because the Holy Spirit made this sermon for you to say you're more than a conqueror, that he loves you, and there's no more rejection in your life. You're going to get so full of the Spirit of God that you're going to be able to give what your parents couldn't give and what your boss couldn't give, because you go to faith church, you're getting full of the word, you're in a group, you're renewing your mind, you're listening to worship music. Come on, somebody. Here's one more. Let them. Let me disappoint them. I mean, I hate to disappoint people. Man, I hate it. I got some people want me to do stuff tomorrow that I just can't. I got to say no to, and I hate to disappoint them, but I've been working too hard, too long, and I have to. I got to take some time off tomorrow. People are like, "Pastor David, I want to go to lunch with you. I would love." You don't need us to go to lunch with all of you to a nice restaurant and have you pay. That's my dream. But I can't possibly do that because there's so many of you, right? But really what you got to do is keep the main thing the main thing. What you want from me is not really a lunch. What you want from me is what I'm giving you right now, which is the content with the context of the Word of God strung together so you can go, "Wait a minute, I'm going to learn on Sunday something that's going to change my life on Monday, and I'm going to be the best me possible. And because I'm going to better myself, I'm going to better the whole world around me, and everybody's going to come up because I'm going to come up." Is that what you want? Yeah. You're not responsible for the way others feel about you. You're responsible to make sure you're walking in the Spirit, that you're being kind, should be lovely. But at the same time, I want you to stop begging for seats at tables you don't belong at. When I begged for that seat at the table and got rejected, I'll remember it till the day I die. Every time I see those jokers, I think of that. Yeah, but not in a bad way. Just in, when you do good, you kind of laugh about it. Why am I saying that? Not to impress upon you about me, but to press on about you. I promise you, if you get this information, you're going to church. Here it is, man. It's 12:21, and you're in church. Would you have ever thought in your past at 12:21 you would be in church, learning, improving, and gracing? Raise your hand if you're like, nope, never thought that. Maybe 10 on Easter, but not 12:21 on a regular day. But you're coming up, and now you're getting a desire for the Word, and now you're seeing the results of the Word, and then you're starting to make a difference in people's lives. And I want to let you know that you belong here. I couldn't help it every time I look over at my wife's bearded friend who came out of prison, who spent some time in prison, and he, Michael. And so Michael, I saw Michael's story, how he came to church out of prison, got baptized, brought his friends, and the whole time, what? He brought a new guy today. Give it up. Did you bring anybody? Michael brought somebody. And I guarantee you there's 1,000 people at the prison would have came with him today if they could have. You belong here. Also, one thing that I love is when people judge other people. I got a feeling a lot of you should have went to prison. Y'all know what you did, you dirty, nasty thing. Nobody found out about what you did. Just because you sin different than other people doesn't mean that there's levels to it. Well, that's a 10. Their sin was a 7. I always give mine a low. Like, mine's always a 2 because I'm a pastor. But I believe sin is sin, and we've all missed the mark. Don't you? And everybody belongs here, is welcome here. And the same grace that saved me is the same grace that's going to save you. Hebrews 12. Let's go here. Hebrews 12, verse 11. You're so fun. For the time being, no discipline brings joy. But it seems grievous and painful, but afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. In other words, getting up, going to church today was a pain, but you did it. Getting up and working out was a pain, but you did it. Later, it hurts at the time, but it brings a fruit. Now it says, verse 12, so brace yourself up, reinvigorate, set yourself right. Get your slacking hands up. God's basically saying, sit up and act right. And make a firm, smooth, straight path for your feet. By that I mean, if, and I've said this before, but I'm going to say it more for you. If you get up on a Sunday morning and your kids ask you if you're going to church today, you have not made a plain path. Are we going to church today? No, of course we're going to church today. Because if you don't raise your kid right, the enemy and the world will try to raise them. There is a devil after your kids and your grandkids. When you don't feel like going to church is the very day that you need to go to church. Because you know you, and if those kids got any of your gene pool in them, you know they need to go to church. So go to church. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Going to church renews your mind. Going to gym doesn't get you in shape. If you just sit on the ab machine, it's not going to do anything. Everybody's seen those memes where it's like, the doctor told me to spend 45 minutes on the treadmill, and the guy's just laying there on the treadmill eating Doritos, right? I mean, that's not the purpose of the treadmill. So coming to church, you're doing that. You're renewing your mind. So make that plain, make that path really plain. Verse 14, here's the big one. This is the big takeaway. Read that with me. Strive to live in peace with everybody. Again, real strong. Strive to live in peace with everybody. It's hard to live in peace with some people, but you're going to strive after it. You're going to work hard after it. You're going to try with everything you got to live at peace with everybody. And the Lord told me yesterday to tell you this. He said, tell them everybody is also them. You have to strive to live at peace with yourself. You're everybody. You're a somebody. And sometimes it's hard to love your neighbor as yourself because you don't love yourself. You don't even like yourself. So it's hard with that inner dialogue of everything your mom said you were not, everything your dad said you were not, everything your ex said you're not. You got to say, wait a minute, I know who I am. Who am I? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm blessed. I'm favored. I'm strong. No weapon formed against me, including me, is going to prosper today. And as you hear this more and more, a year from now, that's why I say, a year from now, you'll have to introduce yourself to yourself because you will not recognize yourself. A year from now, you'll tell somebody, a year ago, I would have shot you for that. But not today. Today, I'm just going to slap you. Right? You're going to grow in grace. We go from glory to glory, victory to victory, faith to faith. You're working on you mentally. You're working on you spiritually. You're working at growing in every area of your life. So strive to live at peace with everybody. I want to say this. Those people that won't live at peace with you, let them. Do everything you can, check all the boxes, then let them. I had a situation that happened a few weeks ago. It's been going on, and it's with an association. And they wanted to meet with me, and I told the head of it that I won't meet with you in person, but I will meet on Zoom. And so I was in New York in a hotel room, and I did it on my ears because I know if Nicole hears this conversation, she's going to go buck wild and kick some tail because she is not going to allow me to succumb to the stupidity that I'm about to go through, because I know my wife. She can get after me, but you can't get after me. And these people went after me, and they're going after me. And the whole time, I was aware of my body language. And I was thinking, WWJD, what's that mean? What would Joel do? And I kept smiling, and they're tearing into me, and they're tearing into me. And I just kept killing them with kindness. Okay, yeah. This went on for about a half an hour. And then at the end, after I was nice, they spun it up the other way, and they said, we actually like what you did. What you did, and you did this improvement and did that improvement, and it brought so much value. That was actually on our wish list. I wanted to say, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? The very thing you're trying to kill me for is the thing you wanted me to do. Make up your mind, people. But oh no, we're smarter than that. We're playing chess, not checkers. I go, oh, that's great. Glad we could do that. We're going to do more. You win when you play chess. You lose when you make quick moves. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You renew your financial strength. You renew your strength to lead people. You keep your cool. We've all sent a text that was zoop, and you're like, oh, gosh, I want to. Aren't you glad you can unsend those things now? Right? You got to really pay attention, though, because sometimes you just hit delete, and then you're screwed. You got to do it right. Practice it on your wife or something. Anybody ever send an email, and you're like, I need to go in there and undo that email real quick? Okay, I said you were my favorite people, but now you went to lying on me here. See? Anybody ever said something you wish you could take back? Okay, we all do that. But sometimes we do it because we're empty. When you're full, you know who you are. I am. You can't get me down there. See, what happens is when we live for people's approval, we die in their rejection. So now we feel rejected. We must not be worth anything because mom and dad or our neighbor or this person thinks we're bad. I know who I am. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Doesn't matter, as long as you call me for dinner. You can say what I am, what I'm not. If I know who I am, then I'm not intimidated about it. I'm not getting mad. When people push my buttons, I don't have to get mad because I know who I am. Some of you haven't found out who you are yet. You're still looking for your identity. Your identity comes from God. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. Like Jeremiah said, before I formed you, I knew you. You were not an accident. Well, you don't know that. My mom and dad told me I was an accident. No, when God created you, he breathed his life into you, and you became a speaking spirit with a unique thumbprint to do what only you can do. So you got to write your book. You got to tell your story. You got to make a difference. And you cannot allow other people and what they say or don't say to affect you. Got to keep on keeping on. I want to read you a story. It's really cool. It says, once upon a time, there was a man who had a young son. They were traveling with their donkey in a distant village. It was a hot day. It was a long road. So at first, the man rode the donkey while the son walked beside him. They passed through the first village, and the people whispered, what kind of father rides while that poor little boy walks? How selfish is he? Feeling guilty, the man got off the donkey and let his son ride. As they entered in the next town, more comments came. Look at that spoiled child making his father walk while he rides. There's no respect these days. Embarrassed, they both decided to ride the donkey together. They reached the next town, and when they came in, they said, how cruel is that? Two people on a donkey? That's animal abuse. Call PETA. Stressed out and desperate to please everyone, the man and the boy climbed down, and they tied the donkey's legs together, and they put him on two sticks, and they started carrying him into town. And people said, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. How stupid are those people? You're supposed to ride a donkey, not carry a donkey. The moral of the story is, no matter what you do, people are going to find fault to say comments that are not true. You cannot make everybody happy. You got to make him happy, and you got to be happy. Mom ain't happy, too bad. Dad ain't happy, too bad. Every day, somebody's not happy with me. All the time, people aren't happy with me. People don't like the way I drive. Sometimes they honk at me. That's why I can't put like the Easter thing on the, not on my car. I want it on your car. Not so much on my car. See, people don't like the way I drive. People don't like the way I preach. People don't like, and here's the deal. Sometimes I have to be careful because sometimes I don't like me. And then if you take their not like with my not like, then I feel like I'm completely drained. My cup is empty. Then I got to get it filled back up. Come to church like you were so wise to do today. And then I got to get myself around the right people. And you get yourself around the right people, God starts building you up, and you start having some accountability, and you start helping people like we are in the city and making a difference. And then you're starting to say yes to the thing you're supposed to say yes to because you said enough no's to the things you were not called to do. And then you start having confidence. And then basically you have mental clarity. I want to close with this. There's so many things. I mean, anybody like me, you turn on your TV and you got Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, raise your hand. You know, talk about Showtime, Edge. And we're not paying for all this stuff. We're using our friends' passwords. We've got all these. All this stuff. We don't have enough time to watch it all. We get all caught up in a series, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get in this series. And then you go, and they know how to hook you. Raise your hand if you're like, man, it's midnight. You're like, oh my gosh, I got to find out what happens next. And then it's 2 in the morning, I got to find out what happens next. And then the end of it, the end of Yellowstone, it's like, oh my gosh, my life is over. I'm bored now. Man, why did they go on to something else? You get all hooked up. And I'm not saying those things are bad. Some of that has its place. But sometimes you need to say, wait a minute, I'm going to turn that stuff off for a while. I'm going to do what's hard for a little bit. And I'm going to read a book. I'm going to try that over here. I'm going to read a book. I'm not going to read a book just with pictures. I'm going to read a book, and I want to mark that book. I'm going to mark the book, the parts that speak to me. And then in a couple months later, I like to read a book is go back and look at the parts that I marked up. I don't have to read the whole book. I just got to read the parts that I want to remember again. Y'all follow me right now? So let's make ourselves better. And I know you want to do that because you're here today. God wants you to do something great. God wants you to minister to people in prison. Nicole didn't just wake up one day and decide, I feel like I got a prison ministry. She goes to prison all the time. I love going to the gas station, and people say, where's Nicole? I'm like, ah, she went to jail. She's helping people. Why? Because she went through some stuff. She got filled, and then she read the scripture where Jesus said, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. The best way to be great is start doing something little. If you do something little long enough, and you get rejected at the table, they'll call you. They'll want to be around you. If you get good at what you're good at and you stop being a 2 and go to a 3, they say they stand in line for 9s. You'll get so good, people will make a demand on you. You'll be able to state your salary. You'll be able to say, I'm not just looking for a man. I'm interviewing for a position to be engaged and married, because there's nothing worse than feeling like you're a loser and you run from rejection to rejection trying to say, will you love me? Will you love me? Remember this. When you're confident, you know who you are, let the game come to you. You're blessed. You're anointed. Father, I pray right now for every ear that has heard the voice today. This isn't a crowd. This isn't a big church. This is a family. I love these guys, God. The little ones, the older ones, all of us. We're in love with you, Jesus, and we want to make a difference in our community, in our world. And God, I speak to all the pain and all the heartache and the heart. I'll say today is healed. God, we receive an inner healing. We're going to let them do what they do. We're going to let ourselves do what we're called to do. We're going to be okay with that. It's going to take a while. I hear the Lord say it takes a while to get comfortable with it. But if you do it long enough, you won't do it with an attitude. You won't just get mad to do it. You'll just do it because it's normal to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Right now I have my friend on the stage. She's not a Grammy nominated artist. She's a Grammy award winning artist. Dear friend. And I asked her, I said, Dale, would you, she was at the women's conference, I was like, would you stay? And she got a little newborn baby. She stayed just to minister this song to you. So will you give it up for Doe as she ministers to you?